So you're welcome once again for this service. Those that will join us, they'll find us when we have gone. Open with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 to 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. If you're there, you say firstborn. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. I'll start. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I know, I don't know about you, but I know about myself. Especially during this season, the temptation to fear, to be gripped by fear because of the things that are about to happen, is, we are very prone to it. I mean, you imagine, I don't think you were around when the prophet was teaching about the horses, but you imagine the things, and you think about it and you're like, okay, we went through the other one, and now there's another one coming. And even as I've been reflecting on those messages, even as I've been listening to them, the one thing that has been standing out for me has been fear not. Fear not. But even as I was thinking, about what to share with the firstborn, the Lord told me to remind the firstborn about his love. Told me to remind the firstborn about his love. He says, remind them about my love. It is what will anchor them in this season. And I love verse 38, which is my focus, really. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. No things to come. In other words, there are things that are coming, but they are not going to separate us from the love of Christ. They are coming, just like the prophet has prophesied here over time. I mean, since May, he's been prophesying about these things. But guess what? Those things are not meant to separate you from the love of Christ. They are not meant, I mean, God forbid, they are not meant, they have not been sent to separate you from the love of Christ. He says those things, no things to come, no things to come, no height, no depth, no any other created thing. Newsflash. The green horse is a created thing.
And it says, no any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can go and do your research, and absolutely nothing, especially in this season. That is one thing that you need to be anchored in, the love of God. I mean, it's easy for us to believe that God loves you when everything is okay, you have money in your pockets, you have money on your bank accounts, you have food in your refrigerators and your stores, houses. But how about that time in the midst of such catastrophe? It's easy, by the way. It's like second nature for you to actually know, God is good. And then ask you, why is he good? Then you're like, don't you see? Have money, have all these things. But what happens in that hour when things seemingly don't add up? Because I am sorry to say this, that the last one found Christians flat-footed, like they say. We didn't expect it, we didn't prepare for it, and it caught us flat-footed. But this one, we've had time to prepare. We've had warnings go out. The question is, what is going to anchor you? When you wake up in the morning and probably you don't even have the energy to get out of your house, that love of God that remains constant. That love of God that remains constant in the midst of all disaster. Somehow it just, that it says, I am persuaded. And it's not just a feeling. And you're a married man. I'm glad that probably the Lord meant this for you. But in marriage, I'm told, I've not been there yet, but I'm told that there are times when the feelings expire. They have an expiry date. But what is that persuasion whereby you're like, I still love this person, or she still loves me? What is that persuasion? Because you remember the commitment that you made. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That even in the midst of whatever is going to be happening, he's still saying, I am with you until the very end of the age. That is how much he loves you. That is how much he's committed to you. But he says, I am with you. I am with you until the very end. The very end. The very end. When life seemingly doesn't make sense. When people, when life has come to a standstill, as it's about to happen, he still says, I am with you. At that place. Now, if there's anything that we need to be grounded in this season, it is the love of God. It is the love of God. Because that is what is going to carry us through. That is what is going to carry us through. Because you, well knowing that, you know what? I am not of the world. David comes and writes and says, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? What is man? That is a thing that you need to be grounded in this hour. But it is part of preparation. You need to make sure that you're anchored in that love. Because it is going to clearly separate. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. There is nothing. It is not there. You can go and look for it. You will not find it. Not even this thing that is coming. It will not separate you from the love of Christ. Sunday school song that I don't know if you've heard it, but if you've probably been around Christian circles, probably you've heard it. Because the lyrics are like, with Christ in my heart, I can smile at the storm. And you're like, Christ in my heart, I can smile at the storm. And there's a storm that is brewing right now. Do we have that love of Christ in our hearts? Or are we also going to be running like headless chicken? Because by the way, people have already started running. I think I saw headlines about vaccines being purchased from different places. But you need to be rooted in that love. Rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 to 21. If you're there, you say firstborn. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 to 21. It says, Paul writes and says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length, depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In this season, there's a love of God that surpasses knowledge. There's a love of God where it's beyond just somebody coming and telling you God loves you, which is very good and very beautiful. But beyond somebody just reminding me that God loves me, there is a love of God that surpasses knowledge. And that is what's going to anchor us. It says being rooted and grounded in love. What are you rooted and grounded in? The first, I've heard it said, and I somewhat agree with what was said, that the first so-called pandemic revealed where the most believers' roots are. It's sad, but yet it's the truth. It revealed that our roots are not in Christ. Revealed that we are more of the world than of God. Of course, that's not my portion. I'm very sure that is not your portion. But that is what it revealed. That is what was evidenced. Because as the world was screaming, even the church was screaming. And you're like, so what difference is there? And is it going to be the same this time around again? Because, truth be told, these things are coming. I absolutely believe and know that as surely as day and night exist, the green horse is going to cause chaos, as the prophet has prophesied here. But what? What are we? Are we rooted and grounded in God's love? Are we rooted and grounded in that love? Verse 19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Verse 17 says, you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. You know when somebody loves you, when you know that somebody really loves you, even when they say certain things about him, omuganira, you can bear me witness that they're like, you know, prophet did this, he did this. You're like, no, that couldn't have been prophet. Oh, so and so did this, he said these things, no, that couldn't have been him. But beyond just kuganira muntu, there's a higher level. When you truly know that somebody loves you, even when it seems like they are working against you, you're still confident of one thing: they love me. They love me. And that is one thing that needs to anchor us in this season. See, as all hell is breaking loose, there's a confidence in your heart that my God loves me. My God loves me. Yes, I may be going through all these limitations, but even then he still loves me. Because that's what's going to set you apart from the usual believer. That is what's being rooted. If you do, God forbid, and I beseech you by the mercies of God, I beseech you, whoever will hear this, that is if it will be uploaded or something, but whoever will hear this, I beseech you by the mercies of God, between now and when that season fully manifests, you better be grounded in the love of God. You better be grounded in that love, because that is what is going to set you apart. As it was in Egypt, what set them apart was because they were the Lord's beloved. They were the Lord's firstborn. That is what set them apart. And as firstborn, I'm speaking to you even now, that is what will set you apart. That is what will set you apart in this season. When you come to that place of acknowledgement that, you know what? He loves me so much. He loves me so much that he has not just let me be a part of the general assembly. He has let me be his firstborn. And he says, I will make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. When that revelation is beyond just knowing and reciting physically, that time you will, that is what will set you apart. That is what will set you apart from any other believer out there. That is what is going to set you apart. Why people are asking, why do good things happen to bad people? I don't even know what they ask. I hear, why do bad things happen to good people? You will not be found in that category. You will not be found in that category. Because you will continually be reminded that you are God's firstborn. That for you, there's a Goshen effect at work in your life. There's a preserving grace at work in your life. That is what is going to set you apart. That is what is going to set you apart in this season. Oh dear firstborn, that is what is going to set you apart. That beyond you just reciting and knowing that I will make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth, you come to that place of acknowledgement, of love, of embracing that love, that indeed I am God's firstborn. I mean, he has said that about you. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? That is him loving on you. That is what is going to set you apart. And to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. There's a love of God that surpasses knowledge. Where you stand and look at yourself and you're like, you know what? Beyond the shadow of a doubt, he loves me. Where you stand and you take stock, because that is also very important. The things that we have had in this season, not many churches are preaching them. You can even do a finger count. Not many churches. You can list. I dare you to list 5. But if you do not come to that revelation that, you know what, this is how much the Lord loves me, that he has sent his prophet in this season, not just to warn me, but to continue to manifest the love of God. Because beyond just warning, he's actually showing us that, you know what, you are privileged. You are a privileged lot. You are a privileged lot. That is how much he loves you. That somehow the Lord was like, you know what? I will deliver this to the house of the firstborn. There are so many out there. There are so many ministers. There are so many. But that is how much he loves you. So, in this season, you need to come to that place where your roots go deep. Where your roots go deep. I didn't even plan to go there, but somewhere in Job, I believe it's somewhere, probably Job chapter 23, I'll quickly go there. And this is Job right in the middle of the ashes. And he cries out and he says, though he slay me, the man has lost his family. He's lost his children. He has a nagging wife telling him to curse God and die. And he says, though he slay me. I don't know if it's Job 23. I'll find it. Because I believe it's the Lord leading me in these places. Job 13, verse 15. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Job writes and says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. The man has lost his family, his children, his wealth, that is causing very many in this day to run haywire. He has lost everything that matters to him, seemingly, physically. But he's still anchored in that love. But his wife comes to him and is like, are you still holding on to your integrity? And tells him, curse God and die. And Job turns to him and is like, you've spoken like one of the foolish women. Says, you have spoken like one of the foolish women. You have spoken like one of the foolish women. That's what Job tells his wife. And this is his loving wife. But at that point in time, she was categorized as one of the foolish women. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. There are that place where our life doesn't seem to make sense. You come to that place and you're like, you know what, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. 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 Because you're deeply rooted and anchored in that love. Okay. Newsflash. Many of us. Okay. Some of us. In fact, let me even say this categorically. Me, I know that the first season of darkness, when darkness ran rampant, the only thing that took me through that season was God. I know that. I don't know about you, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was God. It was God. Yes, there was abundance, there's all these things that happened, but I know somehow it was God. And because he loved me so much, he loved me so much, and he was like, you know what? I'll carry you through. I hadn't prepared. There was no preparation because it's something that had never happened on the earth. And child of God, even you yourself, you dearest firstborn, you, when you look back to those days and take stock, you will find that it was God. That song, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, that love, it never gives up, it never runs out, and it never runs out on us. And until you come to that place of reality, that this love of God is able to hold me through whatever storm, whatever trial, whatever temptation. Until you come to that deeper understanding and revelation, Potea, everything else is going to just be business as usual. But you need to come to that place where you acknowledge that, yes, he loves me. He loves me. Things, chaos may be about to come on the earth, but he loves me. And he cares so much. I mean, the psalmist says things, and I know sometimes we don't get time to really focus on them. But when you read Psalms 139, which is one of my best, and I didn't plan to go this route also, but I'll quickly go there and then continue. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. You're there, you say firstborn. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Sometimes we have not even searched ourselves. But it says, you have searched me and known me. Now this is love. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path. Sometimes we don't even comprehend our path. The to be taken, we just move aimlessly. But it says, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. This is a very beautiful psalm. But I'll skip to verse 13. It says, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 16 says, your eyes saw my substance. And this is my focus. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Even the days that are coming, there's things that God wrote about you, Chris. And They're not bad things. He's not a God who is spiteful or vindictive. They're not bad things. He says, in your book, verse 16, and in your book, they all were written that days fashioned for me. So while you're thinking about all these things and you're wondering to yourself, how does all of this add up? I mean, all the helter-skelter that's about to happen on the earth, how does all of this add up for me? There's one who took time and wrote every single day of yours in detail in his book. Let's pause and think about that. That even parents, when they have children, they don't sit down and write, plan out their lives for that long. But there's one, and he's a good, good father. He took off time and wrote every single detail about your life. All the days, he says all the days, not some of them. All the days were written in your book. Even when there was yet none of them, you didn't just start out and it's like, hey, this guy has come on the scene, let's start writing. No. By the time you got onto the scene, he had finished. He had finished. Now, if you have a God who has gone way before you, what do you have to fear? Omulunzo yo anungamia erandisa akumya we meme yange netagachi yesu ngawoli chechirinzi jaku yesu. When you get to realize that he has gone ahead of you, what is there to fear? What shall separate you from his love? What is there to fear? Now I'll just share about three things why it is important to be rooted and grounded in God's love, especially in this season. I've already even gone ahead of myself. But I'll share the other two. The first one was, it's the love of God that will anchor you in this season. I don't know, I've already shared, and I have expounded even beyond. But also second to that, it's the love of God that will give you perspective and thus help you better interpret circumstances. If there's anything that we're going to need in this season, it's perspective. And perspective is more to do with your outlook. How are you interpreting circumstances that are happening around you? Is it, oh my God, we are dying? It's a story that I read so many years ago. It's about chicken licking. Probably you can go and look it up. It's a very secular story. Okay, one of those childhood fairy tales. But the story is that there's chicken licking and he's hit by an acorn. Is it called an acorn? An acorn. One of those seeds of, I think, an oak tree. Those seeds that later turn into oak trees and what. It hits him on his head very early in the morning. And then chicken licking runs all around and starts telling everybody that he finds that the sky is falling. And they go from one place to another with that news of the sky has fallen, the sky has fallen, from one person to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And somehow, whoever he gets, they reach to, they just join the throng. Until they get to a guy, to one of them, I even forget who it was, and I was like, wait a minute. The sky has not fallen. It's still up there. And then all these guys turn up and they're like, what have we been up to? They've been running, following chicken licking. But The love of God will give you perspective in this season, where you're not interpreting circumstances like the world is interpreting them. I mean, the world will go like, ah, God no longer cares. Or, I don't know, whatever they may interpret. But yours will be a definitive when they say there is a casting down. There is a lifting up. That you come to that place and you're like, you know what? 1,000 will fall on my right hand. 10,000 on my left. But it will not come near me. That is your perspective. But you don't just come to that perspective. In that past season, people had us say certain things and they thought that we're just saying pompous words. No, we're not being pompous. When I say 1,000 shall fall at my right hand and 10,000 on my left, it's because that is the word of God that I believe. And I have seen it happen. I have seen it happen whereby for some strange reason, which is only and purely a sheer miracle of God, you're like, there's no way I could have survived this thing also. But because you are rooted and grounded in the love, God is like, this one you will not touch. This one bears my seal. You will not touch him. Now that is, until you are at that place where you're grounded and rooted in the love of God, you will not have that perspective. And guess what? When you don't have that perspective, what happens is that you end up giving the devil a foothold. Because you will say things with your mouth. And then guess what? After you've said the things with your mouth, they manifest in your life. Because you have said certain things. And you're thinking, wait a minute. Go near your firstborn. Why are they going through whatever they're going through? But because they do not have this revelation of the love of God, they are not rooted and grounded in the love. Because let me tell you, yes, these things are happening. And I love somewhere in the Gospels where Jesus comes, it probably must be John chapter 16. He comes to the disciples and tells them, you know what? I am telling you these things that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Now in this season, dear firstborn, you need to choose where you will find your peace. Because the media, the secular media has already started doing its job. It has already started faithfully. It's way on track, by the way. Yeah, there's monkeypox, or there's this other poxes and what. They are doing their job effectively. And we know what their end goal is. To induce fear and to cause you to be anxious. But while all of that is happening, my dearest firstborn, I beseech you by the mercies of God, you better be anchored in the love of Christ. Because he says, nothing shall separate you. Not things to come. Not things present. Not things to come. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing shall separate you. Nothing shall separate you from his love. And until you get to that place where that is your perspective, you'll interpret circumstances differently. And it is very important because now we have just a few days. We have just a few days where you resolve in your heart that you're going to have this revelation of the love of God. Because that is, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you can't probably even movement is restricted. Let me tell you, the enemy is so wicked. Very wicked. Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But what the enemy does is that he takes away the liberties of men and puts them in bondage and limitation. And that is what he does. But even in that seeming limitation, you can choose and you're like, you know what, me, I am not bound by this. I'm reminded of Paul in a Philippian jail. This past Wednesday, the prophet was telling us that it was their jail was like they were in a jail, and under them were sewers that were passing, stench, full of stench. But in that Philippian jail, Paul writes a letter of love and praise to the church. That if you have no idea of where he was, you'll be like, this guy probably was in some 5-star hotel somewhere in Jerusalem having a party. But in the midst of that circumstance, the guy was like, you know what? This has got nothing on me. And he writes and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. In the midst of a Philippian jail, the guy is saying, rejoice in the Lord. But it's because he had the revelation of the love of God. Paul and Silas, same example. They've been beaten. And at midnight, guys are worshiping God. Because they had the revelation of that love. And that is what will anchor you. That is what will help you interpret circumstances. Not those things of, hey, we've been abandoned and forsaken by God. He said in his word, I will never leave you. And I'm saying this a second time for a witness. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. In fact, let's go there. Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said. Who has said? He himself has said. It's not me. These are not my words. It's not me. He himself has said. He has said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Verse 6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? When you have this, and I'm even glad I opened there. So we may boldly say. This thing is a man-engineered thing. Eh? So you see where I'm going? But when you have this confidence in the love of God, when you have this revelation of the love of God, you get to a place where you're like, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will not fear. And it's very important that we do not fear in this season. The third reason why it's important to be rooted and grounded in the love of God, especially in this season. And this one is very important, in as much as it's the last one. It's the love of God that will keep you from falling away. I'll say that again. It's the love of God that will keep you from falling away. From drawing back to perdition. It is the love of God that is going to keep you from falling away. That is going to keep you saved. That is going to keep you believing and trusting that God is good. When all these bad things are happening, it's easy to believe that God is bad. It's easy. But that's a lie from the very pits of hell. And trust me, once you buy into that lie, The inevitable is that you will fall away. The inevitable is that you will fall away. There's people who believe that lie in 2020, and right now they've never been to church. And like Hebrews 6 says that it is impossible to restore such. It is very impossible. Let's open 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And trust me, the falling away has started. I remember during that first one that happened, I think I was going through my phone, and then I discovered this lady. And this was a former pastor in the U.S. You can even go and Google her. And she returned to adult entertainment. Now, adult entertainment sounds nice, because you may think, it's adult entertainment. No. This was a pastor. This was somebody who had gotten saved, and before they got saved, they were involved in adult entertainment. What is adult entertainment here? They were involved in pornography. Like, they were the ones entertaining the people with that. Female pastor, you can go and Google it. She was in New York. And guess what? In the midst of whatever was going on around the world that time, she was like, you know what? I've had enough. But this is a pastor. The day you get saved, you don't become a pastor. True or false? You don't become a pastor. But if she had walked with the Lord for so long and so close that she gets to a place where she becomes a pastor finally, that means the Lord has entrusted her with a flock. And then there's a falling away. She succumbs and falls away. So what happens to the sheep? Because that's the strategy of the enemy. His strategy is strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And she is gone. Now, I think about the sheep. But beyond that, I think about ourselves. My dearest firstborn, if you don't have a revelation of this love, you're going to buy into the lie of the enemy. When you can't drive your car, and yes, I know the prophet released cars here sometime. Must have been last year, towards the end of last year. Or must have been this. Actually, last year. But when you can't drive that car that was released by the prophet, that's interpreting circumstances differently. And then the end result is you fall away. Like, naye mfachi. There's usually those social media memes that run around, and sometimes guys are like, I have this button where I'm like, yeah, mfachi. But by the time you get to that button, you'll have bought into a lie. And what has caused you to get into that lie? You've come to that place of realizing, you know what? Tamfako. The love of God. The love of God. The love of God. It is that love that will keep you from falling. I think it's somewhere in... let me read it. I'll find it. I'm almost winding up, but I'll find this one, because this is very important. probably. Oh, I hope it's. The love of God. Which one is Jude? Jude chapter 1. Jude has one chapter and verse 24. Jude. Let's quickly go there. Jude chapter 1 verse 24 after before Revelation after okay, I don't know what happened, but it's well. Says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. He is able to keep you from stumbling. This version says stumbling. It says to keep you from falling. Waliwo abagwa. There are those who fell. Nenkona nenywa. That even right now they have never found the strength to rise up again. Why? Because they misinterpreted things. They misinterpreted circumstances. They did not have the love of God as their anchor. Eh? The moment they realized, I don't have money in my pockets. I've not been working for this long. I mean, even Nabanja's money has not come. They're like, you know what? Where is this God that they've been telling us about? But he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I'll end with these two scriptures. Two scriptures. The first one is Psalms 46, 1 to 3. Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1 to 3. And this is the effect. This is, even as I read this, this is Psalms 46, 1 to 3 is an effect of you having an understanding of that love of God, having that revelation of that love of God. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. God is our refuge. That is a place of love. That is a place of love. Until when you wake up in the morning and you're like, the mountains are being removed. It talks about, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. even though the earth be removed. You're like, he loves me this much. He loves me so much that though the mountains be removed, he is my refuge. He is my refuge. What are you taking refuge in? I beseech you, dear firstborn, take refuge in the love of God. Ah, wow. I love my father. But you know, there's certain prophecies that he drops and you're like, huh, now what do people, where will people run to? When you hear prophecies of banks collapsing, the banking sectors collapsing and suffering all this chaos. And these are things, by the way, that have come to pass and have been prophesied by this great anointing. And you're like, and the people who had made Mammon their refuge. But let the love of God be your refuge. Let the love of God be your refuge, that you will know this love. That is beyond knowledge. Because it's one thing for you to know, hey, this person loves me. But that even in the deepest sewers that life may throw you at, you're like, he still loves me. Like, he still loves me. I am breathing. Well, like Job, you're like, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Dearest firstborn, let God be your refuge. Let God be your refuge in this season. Let his love be your refuge. That's a more sure refuge than what? What insurance? These insurance schemes and insurance companies. This is a more sure one. Very sure, by the way, it. People who have trusted the love of God, he's not going to wake up and chuck you. He's not, like, it is more sure. It is guaranteed. God's love. Eh? Let God's love be your refuge. Take shelter in the love of God. Know this love. Desire, have a desire within you to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Yeah? Not those things where somebody just comes and tells you, hey, you know that God loves you. I mean, if they come to tell you that God loves you, let it be a confirmation of that which is already in your heart. Let it be a confirmation of that which you have experienced and known. Not those things of where you're waiting for somebody to encourage you. No. And dearest firstborn, we need to get away from that place where somehow you're always looking for somebody to encourage you. I don't even plan to go this way. Because by the way, more than ever before, once you get to have that deeper revelation of God's love, you will not need somebody to encourage you. Sometimes I think about John and I'm like, John, the beloved of the Lord. And sometimes I want to think this guy yali yeraga. For some strange reason, I'm winding up. This guy, John, there are 11 other disciples. And he writes his gospel and he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Disciple whom Jesus loved. And there's so many others, but the guy is like, this is the disciple whom Jesus loved. Like, and you're like, Gundi now is so tuleke. But probably that is why the guy didn't suffer the certain things that the other disciples suffered. The man is boiled in oil and he still comes out alive because he knows the love of God. He is exiled on an island in Patmos and it feels like he has just gone on a vacation somewhere in the holy city up there in heaven. That is one person who had an understanding of this love. So as I wind up, may we make the love of God our refuge in this season. Our refuge and strength, a very present help. A very present help in trouble. While all this chaos is erupting, you know, I was laughing with Timothy the other season, and even now, okay, the other season, basically, and we were like, you know what, it took ages for these guys to plan their chaos. And you know what God did? He watched them do their thing, and he was like, okay. And there was already some plant out there that these guys used to make Covidex. They're like, so somehow you knew before the foundations of the world that man's wickedness would get to that level. And he also countered it at that time and availed the solution. What makes you think that in this hour he doesn't have a solution? What makes you think that in this hour he does not have a solution? That is the love of God. That when you get to realize that even in this hour, I mean, Covidex, a plant. I'm told it was a plant that the guy got and what did what? That very plant that now the gates of hell want patent rights on. But trust me, a plant and did so much planning for these guys that they could not achieve their plan. And you think because those guys have done their things and this thing is running rampant and all of that, you think God has no plan? Really? I love Psalms 2, which says that he that sits in heaven laughs. And he laughs at them. So, I encourage you even in this season, let the love of God be your refuge. Let that love be your refuge. Let it be your anchor. These things, sometimes when prophet shares them up here, yes, it is easy to fear. I'll be honest with you. Because you think, oh God, not again. But while you're thinking not again, please choose not to fear and focus on the love of God. Because by the way, we win. Let me tell you, you're not the same person, dearest firstborn, that went through those days and got out. The person who went through 20, who, the firstborn that went through 2020 and got out is different. And that is how much he loves you. That is how much he loves you. The last portion of scripture, and then we'll close, is John chapter 4 and verse 18. John chapter 4 and verse 18. First John chapter 4 and verse 18. First John. See. It says, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. These are not my words. Bible says, he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And more than ever before, even in this season, even as we are seeing these things begin to manifest, my prayer for you, dearest firstborn, is that you'll be perfected in that love. That you will be perfected in that love. It is that which will cause you not to fear. Yet there is all reason for you to fear. It is that which will cause you to stand up in the face of fear and say, if God be for me, Who can be against me? That is what is going to set you apart in this hour from the nominal Christian, my dearest firstborn. He says, there is no fear in love. In this love, that this love of God, there is no fear. That's why even when, the vision speaks, the first message I think was fear not. Fear not. Fear not the things that should come upon the earth shortly. Because those things are meant to come upon the earth. But that is not your portion. It is not your portion. So even as I wind up, and I know I've shared a lot about the love of God, but in about 2-3 minutes, I challenge you to personally receive the love of God again, afresh, in your heart. Kwagala kwo kumpitirideko ngaku